Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show. All right, my friends, welcome back to another episode of the Lucra Podcast. Before I introduce today's guest, which I am so, so excited about, I can't even tell you, I want to start with a story about how we met. We met after I had been scoping around online and I saw, I don't even know who I was following back then, but it was some badass, awesome woman entrepreneur. And I saw her photos online and I was like, holy shit, who is her photographer? Because these are amazing. I can't even handle it. So I'm looking at her website. I'm trying to figure out who, like, I don't even care about this woman anymore. I don't know who it was. Who is the photographer? And I find somewhere in the little caption that says, photo by Wendy Yalom. And I'm like, ooh, all right, put that in the memory bank. I need to look this woman up because I absolutely want to connect with her. Then, and I kid you not, this is a week later, Sean and I are at a wedding because he is officiating this wedding of our friends. And because he was officiating, we weren't with the general crowd. We were like with, you know, all the important people. And this photographer is running around and like talking to us and talking to everybody and just being her amazing, joyful self. And I'm looking at this woman and I'm like, wait a minute. I think this is the same person that I just stalked online. So eventually I go up to her and I was like, hi, what is your name? She says, Wendy. And I'm like, do you do photography for badass women entrepreneurs? And she was like, yes, I do. And I'm like, holy shit. I was just on your site literally a few days ago. Let's work together. What are the odds of that happening? So, so, so crazy. So my friends, I have to introduce you today to Wendy Yalom, the most amazing photographer on the planet, a dear friend of mine, and I'm just so excited to have you on the show. Wendy, welcome.
Oh my gosh, Mindy, I freaking love you like 100 million times over. And I love telling that story. And the craziest pieces of it are like, you guys were living in Arizona at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in San Francisco. I was shooting, we were at a wedding in LA. And the only reason I even was shooting the wedding is because the bride and groom were friends and they were also kind of badass business people. So I was doing something totally out of my wheelhouse to shoot that wedding. So just the things that needed to happen to have that be our meeting.
Oh, perfect.
It was freaking perfect.
Which, you know, I said, like, what are the odds of that happening? But in our worlds, the way that we live, the odds are actually pretty good.
Yes. 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 Totally.
So here's where I want to begin with you, because we have not caught up in a long time. We were just figuring out, like, when was the last time we even talked? It might be before COVID. I don't even know, because I was kind of like off the grid for a long time and whatever, kind of reestablishing my life. And you have always been this like joyful presence in my brain. So every time I would even think of you or maybe see something that you posted online, I'm like, Wendy. So I want to know, to start this conversation, where the heck are you and what are you doing right now? And then we'll kind of back it up from there.
Yeah. Well, right now I am in my office in Hawaii on the Big Island, and I moved just like officially a couple weeks ago after many years of this being seeded. And my family has an organic farm. We have an 11-acre organic farm here. And for years I've been coming, and like, first it came as like holiday. I'm giving you a really long answer to this question because I know you're curious about
that's how okay. I want all of it.
Okay, cool. I would come here, and like, first it was like, come here to vacate. And then I started maybe like 8 or 9 years ago getting really intentional about the time that I was here because my dad, who's now 85, was getting older and talking about death. And so I, instead of just coming and like have been on vacation while my dad's like here working, I started using the time I was here to be with him instead of being at the beach and working on the farm with him. And then just sort of developing like this real, I don't know if passion's the right word, but like just pleasure and joy at like being a part of the farm and learning and understanding the farm. And then during COVID, I had been kind of ready for a new chapter, but I wasn't sure what that chapter was. And the last chapter was the most off the charts chapter. Like, who knew my life could be as fulfilling and amazing and rich and like so many desires fulfilled. I mean,
yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah, because you live in that world, but it was just time for a change. And so I would come more to the, I was spending more time at the farm and it was harder to leave each time.
I love that.
And I was like, oh, this is kind of a sign. And so the farm, we'd had a long-term farm manager and his family living here who were moving at the end of December. And so their place became available. And I spent the first 3 months of the year in like a trial phase, and then went on like a wild travel, like rampage is a word that's coming to my mind, but like a wild travel adventure, like, which is my typical life.
Yeah.
And then came back July 2nd and officially have moved here. And so, yeah.
That is so awesome, because as long as I've known you, you've been based in San Francisco. Now, of course, you've been everywhere else in between, but always there. So I'm like reorienting my whole brain. Like, this is so awesome that you are there in Hawaii, like for reals. Huh.
I lived there my pretty much whole adult life. I was born there and then I like moved away and then I moved back when I was 22. And have lived there ever since. And I'm 49 now. So what is that? 27 years of my life. Yeah, it's a few minutes. It was definitely like, I definitely needed to do some, well, actually it's interesting because I was about to say I needed to do some like perception rejiggering too, but I didn't. And I think it's because it was so clearly time and there was no like pushing against. When I left, it was just like a very obvious, it was just an effortless transition. I mean, there was some sadness at like habits and routines and patterns that I really cared about that I was having to let go of. But other than that, it was just a really obvious time. It was
What I love so much about this is it so is in alignment with everything I always talk about, which is follow what is in here, you know, follow your heart, follow that feeling. You were like, it felt right. I'm like, yeah. And then you did it. And it is.
Totally. And so aligned with the ethos of what you teach, which is like the thing about being here for me is I am so fulfilled by my experience here. And I feel so wealthy living here, even though conditionally, like I'm not living as
fancy.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely not fancy. That's for
sure. I mean, you're on a farm, like it's a little different.
Exactly. But even just the things that are valued here are so different. And there's such a simplicity to life. And yet it's like there's so much richness, in part because of the land, but also because it's like the aloha spirit. It is that ethos of like, there's so much support and so much generosity. And it's like almost like you just feel compelled to like give whenever you can.
Because, and that is you anyway, like that. Hello. I mean, that just is so resonant with who you are already. So then of course you would feel so at home in that community and that culture because hello, it's you.
I feel like that totally. Thank you.
Yes. So let me ask you this, because this is a question that I ask every single one of my guests, and I've gotten all kinds of interesting answers. What to you is wealth? Like, what is the definition of wealth to you?
That's such a great question. I'm like thinking of a few different, my brain's going in a few different
Yeah, wherever you
directions.
want to take it.
Yeah. I mean, I think about, it's such a hard one to dislike lodge from the, like, what, like, it's so funny because everyone in Hawaii refers to the mainland as like the US, as if Hawaii is not also part of the
We're
US,
separate
like
from that.
America. Exactly. But I almost just did that, which goes to show I'm like a very good Hawaiian. But there's this particular ethos, right, that is so driven to associate and like link wealth with like financial wealth, right? Which is one beautiful generative wealth, and I found at least, and I tend to find that it can, there's a lot that gets sacrificed in the sort of like attempt to like gain that kind of wealth, that I think is, there are like meaningful things that I think are actually worth more than like what we're trying to achieve. And so, or what, like then the financial value. And so it's so interesting when you ask that question, because it's almost like my brain can't quite
Like,
separate
parse it
it.
out.
Exactly. That word is so connected. But I it's like part of what is what I just talked to you, what I just said to you, this idea of wealth being, and I think about like this one day I remember being here and my brother had gone fishing and he like brought fresh fish, and then like my niece had come down from like the mountain and she brought, like, she's really into gardening, so she brought this like big bag of like green beans, and like my brother-in-law who has like a lettuce farm, and I'm like making this like fresh niçoise salad, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, this is all just like a bounty of abundance that has just been given to me, and given because they need to give it to someone. Like there's this real sense, and without any expectation of any kind of return. And so I remember that day, this was several years ago, feeling like, wow, like this is what I, like this is wealth to me. And I think as I've gotten older, the things that I value are relationships, like time. I not even necessarily experience, I think if you'd asked me a few years ago, it would have been more about experience. But I feel like I've gotten to have so many amazing experiences, and not that I don't still value those, but that there's, I'm at this point where like having time to have to cultivate and can maintain and like deepen relationships is a priority. Having time to have a daily physical experience that isn't necessarily like needing to fit in exercise so that I can spend the rest of my day like not being physical, which is like I think what a lot of us end up
Right.
having to do. And there's this real incredible gift of like being a part of a place that grows food where you can like see that, like you can plant a seed, like you can sprout a seed that will eventually become a big enough of a plant to plant, which will eventually become a tree, which will eventually like provide like hundreds of mangoes or hundreds of avocados every year. And so yeah, there's all of those things. And I think that this, I keep being reminded of this quote, is keeps popping into my mind, which is something I heard Ram Dass say once, which was something like, so many of us are in the pursuit of youth, and spirituality is like being about in this pursuit of freedom. It's like that juxtaposition that we as a culture are so in pursuit of like youth, and like yet the idea of like pursuing freedom is like, number one, it's like maybe achievable depending on what you believe freedom
More
is.
so than like pursuing youth, anyway.
Exactly. Like none of us really will ever be able to like
We're not getting younger.
ever look it or feel it. It's like it won't, realistically it's not happening. And so I think that that's part of this answer. It's like all of that. It's like there is this wealth in I don't know, having freedom, like maybe that is to me my barometer for wealth.
Girl, you are speaking my language. Like, yes, yes, yes. The thing that I really, really love, and I want to just state this again, that what you said, because it's so crucial, and I haven't heard anyone really talk about it on this show, is that when you were saying that they were coming and they were bringing and they were giving you, you know, from their abundance, but that they needed to give it as well. Like, what are they going to do with all that lettuce or green beans or whatever? And that applies to everything as well. Money, you know, if we just hoard it and have it, that's not healthy money either, even if, you know, the number's big in your bank account. But it's like you have to be in that participation of this whole energetic exchange. I freaking love that you said that. That was so awesome.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm appreciating you like double clicking on that too, because I think that that is, it's such a cool thing. I'm curious your perspective on this, because I think you'll probably feel this too, but I have this belief that like oftentimes the most generous thing we can do is like receive, you know, like receive the love of the people around us, receive, like it's actually that receiving is as generous as the giving. And
absolutely, because it makes them feel like great, you know, that they're like wealthy in their giving because of your ability to receive. It's this co-creative thing. It's this mutual experience, not just one-sided. So yeah, I absolutely agree.
Yeah, I so see that.
I love this already. Here's another thing that I would like to talk about, because I know you fairly well, but I know that many of our listeners do not know you. So we've kind of hinted at like this wild, amazing, adventurous life, and that you were like the most well-known, as far as I'm concerned, the most well-known badass photographer like in the industry. You were the one to go to. I mean, I still, to this day, I just met someone recently and she was like, oh my gosh, Mindy, I just looked at your website. She didn't give a shit about my website. She goes, who is your photographer? And I said, well, it's Wendy Yellum, and let me send you over to her because she's freaking amazing. So like, still, that happens all the time. So let's talk a little bit about that trajectory. Like, what the heck did you want to do as a young person? And then how did you work your way into becoming Wendy Yellum?
Yeah, I love that you're asking this. And I still feel really freaking fortunate. I still do that work. So it's not, you know, like it's still part of my life, even though I farm, it's just there's more balance. Because at the peak, I was doing like 100 shoots a year, which is, and traveling. So it's like, you're like, okay, wait, 365 days, my shoots are full day shoots. So it's like, what, how did I even, like, I can't even comprehend.
And you're going all around the world, not just like over to Los Angeles.
Around the freaking world. I honestly cannot. I mean, anyway, that did happen. I remember it. And so, yeah, you know, it's so freaking cool. My mom is a high school teacher, and there was some day in 1981. So I was 8 years old, and there was like a holiday for my school. So my mom took me to her school to just sit in the back of the room and like draw or whatever for class, instead of, you know, I don't know what you did in the early 80s when your kids had to take them to your class. And she gave me this test called, it was like called Jabo. And it was like 200 questions, you know, where you figure out what you want to do with your,
and you're 8 years old.
I'm 8 years old. And it's just like, there's like, yes, like, do you like being with people? Do you not like, you know, it's like those kind of questions, you know, like something like about mechanics, like, do you like working, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Very rudimentary, but for high schoolers in the 80s, you can look it up, Jabo. And I did it there. And then at the end, you like score yourself, and there's one, two, there's like first, second, and third. And the second one was professional photographer. And okay. So, and the first one was commercial artist. So it was like, kind of, I mean, yeah. And then the third was nurse. But anyway, regardless. So what's so freaking cool about this is, totally forgot about this. My mom, who keeps everything.
Shut up. She has it.
Oh, I have it. She has given it to me. But she did not find it until like 6 years into my career. And she whipped it out and she's like, look, and neither of us had any, I mean, who remembers like, oh yeah, that jobo you took in 1981
right.
that showed you were supposed to be, of course, like we completely forgot about it. And so I don't like who freaking knows, girl, but I did love taking photos. My mom gave me her like Nikon camera when I was in high school and I took photos for the yearbook and I was, and then when I was in my early 20s, I was just, I had some friends, I asked me to take their wedding photos. I was 20. I wasn't even in my early 20s. I was 20. I don't think I'd ever been to a wedding as an adult. And I just thought, and so there was like no pressure. Like I didn't realize it was actually all that important, you know, that my job was, thank God, because I just did it. And I just was like, oh, this is awesome. Like I could have a career where people hire me to take photos. Like that's awesome. And so that is where it all began. And then the first 10 years, and I went back to school and got a degree in photography and learned how to have a business. And I spent 10 years as a wedding photographer. And then, and also was like, had that like real desire to travel. Like travel was like, always seemed, I always like was what I longed for. Like I always wanted adventure and I didn't grow up traveling. And so, I just like travel, just like amazing. And I thought, oh, like I remember someone hiring me to do a wedding in Jackson Hole. And it was like, and I was living in San Francisco and was like, oh my God. At first I thought I was getting punked, like this woman called. And I totally thought it was someone punking me. And so I just longed for that. And then I was pretty, like, I was having a full schedule of wedding clients and getting, my last year doing full weddings, I had like 3 destination weddings, which was like a big deal. And then I had a couple of friends ask for like headshots. And that just opened up this whole possibility where at the time, just no one was doing this really.
Well, like, let's just say they weren't doing it like you do it. I mean, there may have been like headshot photographers for entrepreneurs, but that is not even remotely the same thing.
And it was exactly that. There were headshot. And in fact, when they first reached out, I sent my 2 girlfriends to the headshots for entrepreneurs photographers. And they're like, not really what we're looking for. Thank God.
Yeah.
And it just grew. And I just at the beginning, and I like, you know, asked like right off the bat, I was traveling within a couple years of that to Europe and had one client who would do these really big events internationally, several of them a year. And she would always promote for me, which had me like grow this huge international clientele. And I just built that. And I'm so lucky. And I feel so like, it's that combination. I don't know if you have that, but it's like, I both feel so lucky, but I also feel so proud that like I did that.
Yeah. I don't think anything had to do with luck there, quite honestly. Like it was you, and because of the force of you, it seeped out to all those people and they had the same experience that I did, which was, who is this? I need to work with her. Like that was exactly it. So I wouldn't call that luck. I would call that you being your most like best, authentic, vibrant, shiny, incredible self. And then that just resonates with people that are like, I want some of that.
Which is so freaking cool that you say that, because it's like, that's the gift of being that space for people when they're having photos taken, especially for business, because then the clients I'm working with are that vibrant, shiny version of themselves, which of course is like exactly what we need when we're promoting ourselves online through photos. Like
we need the best of us to shine through. And you have just an extreme ability to draw that out of people, to bring that out of people, just based on how comfortable you make people feel. Obviously your skill with a camera, of course, but like, it's not just skill with a camera. It's the energetic experience of being with you. And like, we've worked together more than once. I hired you first, and then Sean and I were like, let's do this together. So we did that, which, by the way, so, so, so grateful we did that, because those were our last real photos.
Yeah.
So amazing. And like every single time, it's been this magical, even if we're hanging out, we hung out at a hotel one time just to chat, and it's a magical experience. So this is what I adore about you and what other people see, even on a photo online.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you. I so adore you because you are reflecting back at me exactly how I see you. It is that, like, there is this absolute joyful, open, present, grounded, welcoming energy that you bring that just allows the best.
Yeah, but Wendy, not everybody gets that from me. So you must draw that out of me. I promise you, I'm not always that nice.
I have to meet you in some other context to really like,
or maybe just around people that I don't like quite as much as I like you. I don't know. All right, let's talk about what I really want to know is you've been all over the world. You've been many places, many times as well. What is like your top one or two just absolute favorite best place in the planet?
Oh my God, this is like the freaking perfect moment to ask me this because I'm turning 50 this year. And so as part of turning 50, I like had this and having traveled so much, exactly like you said, I mean, just to like give numbers to it, because I feel super proud of these numbers. I've had photo shoots in 14 countries and 28 different US states, multiple. And so it's like all the places, but I had like one trip that was like still on my bucket list, and everything else has been like checked. And so I had this one trip, and my sister and I was like, I really want to do this for my 50th. And then I totally forgot about it. And I'm moving to Hawaii and there's no time. And I booked my schedule full of like amazing clients and the couple of months I was going to be back in the States. And so my sister is like, we're doing that trip. And then another friend who I like casually mentioned to is like, let's get that trip on the calendar. So I was like, okay, this trip has to happen. So last month I got to check off my last bucket list trip, which was, I spent a week trekking through the Dolomites in Northern Italy. Mm. And it's like every day we would hike from like one end to the next through these freaking incredible mountains. Here is the, you would like hike like a massive, like, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 foot elevation climbs, like pretty serious climbs, relatively short amount of distance, anywhere from like around 4 miles for the first half. And then you get to the top, and at the top of these peaks would be these Italian freaking restaurants. And so you like,
how perfect is that?
Unbelievable. So you'd have this gorgeous Italian meal of like house-made pasta. You'd have your like cappuccino, and then you'd hike the last 4 miles down to the next village. And so honestly, this is truly, I think right now, if I could transport myself somewhere every weekend, it would be to the Dolomites. Cause it was, if you're a mountain person, it was like every single day. I mean, this was a 7-day trek from end to end. Every day we were hiking through a different mountain range that was equally mind-blowingly beautiful. It was like 10 Yosemites next to each other. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I still can't get over it. So that probably right now is like, if I was going to encourage anyone to go anywhere, it would be there.
I'm ready to sign up for that trip. I mean, that just the mountains alone sound amazing, but then on top of it, you have the Italian restaurants with the homemade stuff. What?
Totally. And this service we worked with is like so amazing. They like organized all the hotels, and then you just did the hikes on your own, but they'd move your luggage. So you just
Better.
Yes. Even and better. Every hotel has this like kind of Scandinavian thing of like spas. So they all had like saunas. Nice. And hot tubs. But I think that, and then the other favorite place I have is in Italy too. And you know what I just realized on this last trip to Italy, which actually I think really speaks to what we're talking about today. One of the things I find in Italy, I've kind of been like into investigating what different cultures, like the primary shared cultural values are of that culture. And what I've discovered for Italy is that it's quality of life. And in this last trip, it became really obvious to me that part of why the Italians are so generous and have so much to give is because they really tend to their own quality of life first. And I was just like, oh, right. Like when you're in a culture where like you're well cared for and you've well slept and you've got this life work balance and like
community
and community and you eat well. And like, there's like those things that like, those are primary values as a collective. Like you actually have a lot more energy to give generously. And so I really, and going back to that, like accumulation, like that, you know, so many of the places we stayed, you have this thought as an American, like, oh my God, these guys could be charging like three times as much for this. And yet, like, it's such an American perspective because here they are living well, like running this beautiful inn, like charging a reasonable amount and as opposed to like this belief, like, well, how could you get the most out of
this?
Let me
get more.
Right. They're like, we have enough. Like, look at how we're living.
Totally. And think about too, like I've watched documentaries on places in Italy where they have, you know, so many people over 100 years old because they're all so healthy, and not just healthy in terms of the physical sense, but they're well, like their well-being, to your point, is so taken care of holistically that they are living way longer than, you know, most of us in other countries.
Totally. I love that you're reminding me of that aspect of it too. And so, I mean, there is that, like, that to me is like, they are a culture of wealth for sure. Mm,
I love that. And Italy is one of my favorite places to go to. So I think next time we do a photo shoot, we should go there.
I know this great place in the Dolomites where we can get.
Ooh, I'm excited. Okay. That will be awesome. Let me ask you something else about you and your way of taking care of your own well-being. I have this four-part question that I ask all the guests, and it's based on an acronym called HERB, H-E-R-B. So I'll walk you through each step. The H is habits. What are some of your habits that either contribute to your success, your productivity, or just you feeling good?
Yeah. Valuing physical activity, but also like in the last few years, getting out of it being about achieving something. So just it being about moving my body in a way that feels nourishing and good.
Well, I liked what you said earlier about not like having to fit it in, like go to the gym and get a workout and then, you know, come back and do whatever else. Like you're actually just moving, which is so important.
Exactly. Totally. Exactly. Which, you know, I just gotten this, like us all, like I'm so busy. And so I got to get that run in, or I got to do that. And it just creates like another to do. And it just compounds, you know, so I think physical activity, yoga.
I was going to say, like, what specifics physical activity do you like? Obviously hiking, yoga,
like I've had a lifelong practice of yoga. I mean, lifelong meaning like since my early 20s. So that's a big one. Now swimming, being here at the bay, I go for a swim every morning, not every morning, every morning they have available. I go for a quick swim out down at the bay. We have this beautiful bay right down the road. Yes. When you're coming to Hawaii.
I'm like, I'm already planning my trip.
I'll set aside the snorkel year for you. Okay. So that's one, eating healthfully. One of the biggest habits I have is I gave up sugar about 6 years ago, and it's like all forms of sugar.
That's a nice one.
It has been game changing for my physical well-being, but also my emotional and mental well-being, like transformational. Meditation, having a morning sit. Those are the primary ones. Also reaching, like taking time to connect with the people I care about and scheduling time to have conversations and check in with them and just be in a place where I'm tracking like what's happening in their lives. Those are my primary ones.
That's awesome, especially with everybody so busy these days, you know, just being like, hey, little ping sent out to you.
Exactly.
I love that so much. So the next part might be a little obvious based on everything that we've already talked about, but the E stands for environment. Mm. So obviously you have your farm, you know, you're there now, based there. But I'd also be curious about what, you know, when you're not, say, on a photo shoot or not working out in the land, like, what does your space look like or feel like that sets up the best environment for productivity or focus or just getting shit done?
Yeah, I love that. That was actually the hardest thing to let go of in my San Francisco house. Was I had this deck that overlooked a canyon.
Mm. It was like this. I've seen photos of that.
Right. And it was like this corner of the city that was like super quiet. And so number one, it's got to have like some kind of view. Ideally. Yeah, exactly. And that's less, I think, about actually getting to work and more about just putting my mind in a state where it's like feels a little bit more expanded and can easily come up with creative solutions to problems. Like that's to me the place where you do that. I have a friend who's a neuroscientist who like gave me the neurology about why that's the case. Like what happens in our brain that has those kind of big perspective places, like give us like the mechanics of why that allows for problem, easy problem creates problem solving, which I won't go into. But so that's really useful for me when I'm in that place. I just value quiet, meaning like not a lot of urban noise so much. And that can be like when I'm in a city for work, because I still travel a lot to the city, like more and more I like stay in places like outside the city, you know. Mm-hmm. Like,
I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
I totally understand.
It's like, I will stay in New York, but I'll actually be over in Long Island City, you know.
A little bit
like
outside.
Exactly.
Totally get it.
So having that, having just like a lot of open, bright, I like the, you know, I think all of some, I don't know if all of us, but I have a sense that many of us value kind of like that natural light and having a lot of natural light. And I am so visual that I definitely need to have a place that feels aesthetically pleasing to me and also is ordered in a particular way that I find aesthetically harmonious, because otherwise I'll be so distracted. I'll like constantly be wanting to adjust. I won't be able to actually focus. And if something in my environment's distracting me.
Yeah. I think for you, it's the visual, yes, but also the energetics of it, you know, like each thing has its place. And if it's not in that place, it's like, what is it doing over there? What's happening here? So
exactly.
I understand that. I love that so much. And again, it makes so much sense, you know, hearing that from you. So the R in herb stands for resources, and resources could be anything. It could be books, courses, programs, what, anything that comes to mind. But what are some of the resources that have really inspired you or are like ones that you would be like, ooh, you got to check this one out?
Oh my God. Okay. So
I know there's like probably 8 billion, but
there's like 8 billion, but I'm like a little bit more old school. Like I tend to be like Ram Dass is such an aspirational, like his hearing him speak, I find a lot of value in listening to his talks over and over again, even if I've heard them, you heard what he said before, there's real value in that. I'm a huge fan of Byron Katie's work.
Yeah,
I find her work to be so simple, so ridiculously simple, and so potentially life-changing.
Yes, it's like so profound at the same time. It is so simple.
Totally. And like, you can just do it. Like you can just, like, you don't have to spend a lot of work. Like you just answer the questions.
That's what I love about her. She does not mess around. She's like, you guys, this is it. Done. Okay. Let's
right.
go. Like on next, to the next.
Next subject. Exactly. Game changer. Okay. I love that. Of course you, I can see finding value. I like appreciate knowing that you also.
Oh yeah.
Them.
Yeah. She's a badass.
She's a freaking badass. The philosophy of yoga, like the whole yogic philosophy to me feels very meaningful. The Buddhist like Buddhist tenets I find really meaningful. Some of the places I love are like Spirit Rock has been a really a refuge for me over the years. And it's like, this is not one that's like as easy for people to like access on their own. But I mean, I just feel so lucky because I've had the great fortune of having so many people in my life who are teachers. My dad is actually a really meaningful and important teacher to me, but more often than that is like the community of friends I have.
Yeah.
And I tend to be this kind of friend who's like, when I find someone who I just find really, who I know that I could trust in a moment when I don't necessarily trust my own judgment, mm-hmm. like you are definitely one of those people, I will be like, we're going to be friends. That's happening. Like, I'll just keep like, it's, you know, just.
Girl, I knew that. Like when I saw your website, I hadn't even met you yet. And I'm like, I need to scope out this chick, whoever she is, wherever she is. And then, oh, here you are in California. Okay.
I remember you walking up to me before the wedding with my website on your phone. You're like, is this you?
Is this you? Because I was literally just on this site and here you are in real life. This is crazy.
No idea how huge that was when you were asking me ever. Yeah, but I think that's a big resource for anyone. Like whenever you find someone who you're like, this person is a person I'd want to call when I don't know the people, answer, you just freaking do what you can, like drop your social anxiety and just, you know, become their friend.
I love that. I love that because I probably wouldn't approach it in the same way. I mean, you know me, I'm a bit of a hermit, introvert, you know, that whole thing. But like when it's the right person and when that energy is just resonant, it's simple. It's easy. It couldn't not be that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. I totally know what you mean. Yeah.
All right. So the B in herb, and I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about this. The B stands for beliefs. So what are some of your beliefs or worldviews that have contributed to the life that you are able to lead? Because I know that a lot of people listening to this, they'll be like, holy cow, I would have loved to have her life as the photographer. And I would love her life as the farm in Hawaii. Like she's got all these amazing things going on. Like what inner stuff helped create that? What beliefs, how do you see the world? What are your perspectives that allowed you to create the life that you did?
I'm so into this question. And there's like this line I say often at the beginning of photo shoots, which is to trust freedom's lead. And what I mean by that is like, we can trust that the universe is going to like take us where we need to go and we can surrender to that trust. And there's this Rilke quote, which has been really meaningful for me. And it's about like loving the questions.
Yes.
You know it? It's like,
yes.
Love the questions as if they were like locked doors or like books written in a foreign language. And like, allow yourself to just live, like eventually you'll live your way into the answer. And to me, that is so powerful because I really was clear in 2019, late 2019, early 2020, that like, I just was like something, I was needing something. I wasn't sure, but my conditional reality was amazing. I created amazing. There was like nothing I was rejecting, but there was a new chapter that was needing to emerge. I just didn't know what that was. And I just kept being with that not knowing and talking to all of those trusted, deep, I mean, I don't have a big community. Like I'm talking about this. It's like, I have a very small group of like people who I intimately trust. Exactly. And that I just kept talking about this, like feeling that there was like a new chapter and, you know, kind of like, could it be like, is it this? There's also this quote in yoga, neti neti. Do you know that? She's like, not this, not that. It's basically like, is it this? Nope, not this. Is it that? Nope, not that. And you just kind of keep getting to it until you get to like, oh, this is what it is. And so I think that there is a belief in trusting freedom's lead and then allowing yourself to start living into the version of you want to live into. And I know this is so hard to like, I think if I was me listening to this 30 years ago, I'd be like, what is this freaking woman talking about? Because
how do I do that, Wendy?
Exactly. And that's the whole point is you don't do it. Exactly. You just trust it. And it was, I think what I was saying to you about the move to San Francisco, like there was no loss in it. There was no, like, it was just this sort of like, oh, this is like the next step. It was as if I was just like taking the next step on the journey of life without feeling like a pull or a push or anything. And I think probably, you know, I think those are probably the biggest ones.
I freaking love that. You know what it reminds me of? What I'm thinking of and envisioning as you're saying that about like that push and pull and, you know, how people might assume that it would feel, but then how it can actually feel. To me, it just seems like a current in the ocean or in any kind of water, because you know how in the ocean, like sometimes the waves are pushing you in like toward the shore, but sometimes that shit's pulling you out further. And sometimes it's like sending you sideways. I mean, it goes all kinds of crazy directions, but if you just chill and stop reacting to it and be like, oh, and this is the trust part, it's taking me where I need to go. Well, then you can just relax. And oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to be in the most amazing place, wherever that happens to be at that time, because in a month it could change, you know, and be different. But it's like, okay, well then I'll trust that too. Yeah. It's just a change of the current.
Yeah. And I think there's like, I guess the distinction that's interesting that I don't know how I would make this. And I'm curious, I think you would make this really beautifully, because this I think is part of your like heart's compass work, is like how to distinguish, like, as I'm hearing you describe that, it's like, there are times where like, you actually do need to swim against the current, you know? And it's so like, how do you know? And maybe that's where the metaphor is not quite the right.
Or are there? Like, are there times that you need to swim against the current, or does life always have you and hold you and take you to exactly wherever, whatever?
I think I'm actually thinking about actually swimming and like when it's like when I'm
out. You're like, no, but Wendy, I need to get over there and the current is going this way.
I don't know. So I'm taking this, but I think life's currents, you're right, will generally guide you where you're meant to go. And I think the thing that gets in the way is our fear, right? Is that
bingo,
like,
exactly,
afraid that if we don't do something, like it's going to be a problem, versus being that like willingness to just trust.
Go. Yeah. Exactly. Just go. Yeah. You might have to move your feet, but like, where is that heart pulling you? And you said it, fear, you know, fear is here. If you're being propelled by love, then you just follow and find out like, what's the next adventure? Okay. I guess this is what we're doing now.
Exactly. And I think that maybe that's also part of what really attracted you to working with me as a photographer. It's something that I talk to a lot of other photographers about. It's like, so often what gets in the way of genuinely being with your clients in a way that allows them to be the version you describe being is our own fears as a photographer. Like, is it going to work
goodness.
Out? Lighting? Are they comfortable? Is my client happy? Are they not happy? Like all the stories that we're in the busy telling ourselves in the background.
And you guys you're like on the easy side of behind the camera.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like your fear meeting the fear of the client, because they're, you know, do I look okay? Does this make me look fat? Like, is this the right color? Does my hair, blah, 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 you know, all the things.
100.
Like,
what does this mean about me? Am I being like, is this okay that I'm doing this? Is it not? Like all of that stuff. And so much of what I think, like, I think the, like, so many photographers would be like, yes, there's a lot of like business skills that are worth learning, but I think most photographers would be so well served in just like learning how to be with the uncertainty and fear in the face of those moments and remain present. And
yes. And I would recommend Pema Chodron's books for all such things.
Yes. Yes. In fact, doesn't she have one that's like, has this title, Uncertainty?
Yes. That's why I'm thinking about it. Like it's literally on my bookshelf right over there.
Like you need with uncertainty or something.
Yeah. It's comfort with uncertainty or something like that.
Yes.
You said it though earlier, and you've mentioned it now a number of times. It's the freedom to just be, just to show up, both as the client or the person, you know, having their picture taken and the photographer. And then that can expand out to any other place we are meeting each other, like a coach and a client, a doctor and a patient, whomever. But it's just that freedom to show up as you and them to show up as them, and then to meet. And then that meeting of that mutual freedom is where that magic happens.
Yeah, totally.
And you are like, you are a magician. That is what happens in your presence.
Thank you. I love you saying that.
It's so true. Cool. It is so true. It is so true. Okay, tell me this, because we could talk for 5 more hours and that would be a very long show. If people are interested in getting to know you, working with you, learning more about you, whatever, where might they go?
Yes, go to my website to begin with is a great place. If you're interested in working with me, it's wendy.photo, and go there. Shoot me a message. I would love to speak with you about, like,
say that you heard her here.
Say, tell me that you heard me. Tell me that you know Mindy. Even if you don't get to know her the way I get to know her, which by the way is a very good way to know her. And shoot me a message and we'll talk about like what it is, who you are, what it is you're wanting, what it is that had you even think about like having a photo shoot, and like just to have that conversation, which I love. And then if you want to kind of know me on a more personal, like my personal public, Instagram is a great place. Wendy K, is it Wendy K Yalom or just Wendy Yalom?
I'll link to it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a real, and I'm just, you know, I love sharing stories there. I would love to be connected to you in either of those, the dear listener, through either of those ways.
Nice. And I highly recommend you do that because one, her Instagram is awesome. And two, as you know now, she's awesome. So connect up. Now, final question. For those that are listening out there and they have big dreams, maybe they would like to become a world traveling, amazing photographer. Maybe they would like to do whatever they want to do, but the dream is big. You have achieved things like that. You have lived big dreams, I would say. What inspiration might you give to them if they, like you kind of mentioned earlier, man, if I was listening to this, you know, when I was younger or just earlier in my career, what inspiration could you leave with them?
Oh God, that's such a freaking hard question.
I know, I love it.
I know, because I don't want to say all the like cliche things like believe, you know, just if you believe it to be true, which I do. I actually do think like if
a lot of those cliches are actually true,
you can trust it. Exactly. And it, you know, the idea of trust is I think a big piece. And you know, I think that like probably just, I think maybe the best piece of advice I could have gotten and still continue to act on is like, just keep getting to like, know yourself. Like, I feel like the more deeply you know yourself, the more those connections, the more those like, the more the answers to those problems that are unsolvable problems, like Rilke says, will become obvious. I think there's like the patience piece, like having patience with, that's the way the Rilke quote starts. Now I remember, have patience with all that is unresolved in your heart.
Yes. Yes.
And just have patience with all that is unresolved in your heart. And also, you know, freaking enjoy the fact that you're able to dream in that way. Like that I dreamt of like being a traveling photographer, and you know, I can't freaking believe I actually got to have that realized. But the fact that I even had that dream to begin with seems like amazing to me. And so it's like, allow yourself to deeply enjoy the dreaming. Yeah, I think that's
feels
complete.
You created your life so big and bold and passionate that is such a powerful example for so many people out there that, again, whether they want to be a photographer or whatever they want to be, but it's like, holy cow, like, well, she did that. And I don't know how she did it, but like, it can be done. And if you see somebody doing what can be done, then it's like, well, maybe there's a chance that I could do that, right? So like, your life is the inspiration. And I love that. I so honor that.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, both of us, right? It's like, how is it?
It's nuts.
What was the circuitry that had you and I be like, oh, I know, I'm just going to be a world traveling photographer. Oh, I know, I'm just going to be a spiritual teacher who talks about wealth and like redefines what it means to be wealthy. And like,
it's bananas.
Right. And like have intimate retreats that I take people on to talk about heart-centered leadership, like in beautiful places, in places where I just want to be, the only places I want to
right.
be. Like, who
exactly.
does that? Yay! I really freaking love that you do this, babe.
Wendy, this has been amazing. Thank you so, so, so much. You know, I absolutely love you. And I am so stoked that all of my audience now gets to know you a little bit better as well. You're an absolute delight. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God. So mutual, babe. I feel so fortunate that you are in the world, that part of your dharma, if I can use, like, to like have conversations like this. Like, I love that you have created a structure for yourself that is so generous to us all. But I also can imagine just like, is so nourishing for you to just get to have great conversations about freedom and possibility and wealth and all those things that have such meaning. So thank you for trusting yourself, following in those dreams.
Thank you so much. Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. 1, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. 2, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. 3, work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's LUCRA.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.